I want to call your attention to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And we consider today the ninth commandment, which is found in verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. It says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word, we know that we need your help, your Holy Spirit, your illumination, your guidance, and we ask for that now. Speak to us, all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This commandment is, in some ways, I think, the most violated. It is the most easily broken. It is the most quickly broken, no doubt. The psalmist said that as soon as we're born, we're speaking lies. One of the earliest sins that is manifested in a human life is to lie. I said in my haste, "All men are liars," we read in Psalm 116. And that's no lie. All men are liars. Every conscience should be convicted when we look at the ninth commandment. The youngest conscience should be convicted. Children must be taught early to tell the truth. There's nothing worse than dishonesty and lying. It destroys human relationships. It destroys communication. We may think that a statute of limitations has rendered all of our past lies, maybe some that we remember from early childhood long ago, that those are obsolete now. But in God's system of justice, there is no statute of limitations. Everything is current. I don't think I need to say much to enforce this commandment upon our conscience and to enforce our guilt for breaking it upon our conscience. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The first thing that we note here about this commandment is that it assumes the existence of truth. And that is an assumption that in better ages, in which there was a greater degree of common grace, would not be challenged or denied by anyone. Yes, there is such a thing as truth. Absolute truth exists. But in our relativistic age, we have to even establish the point that there is such a thing as truth. And it doesn't vary from person to person and age to age. It is God's truth. It is absolute truth. Truth exists because God exists, and God is true. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Even if every man disagrees with God, God is right. God is true. His word is truth, we read in John 17. We read twice in the New Testament, in Titus chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 6, that God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And He hates lying. That's revealed here in this commandment. We read in the book of Proverbs that lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And consider what we read in Proverbs chapter 6 here along this same line. Here are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And there are at least three of these seven that have to do with telling the truth or the use of our faculty of speech in some way. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to in running to mischief. And here's another one, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. There is such a thing as truth. And this commandment requires us to tell the truth, to speak the truth, to be true. Let us consider next what is explicitly forbidden here. What is obviously on the surface here in this ninth commandment? Well, it is given in terms of false testimony in a court of law, under oath. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We live in days of great knowledge and scientific inquiry and capacity to investigate things that they did not have at Mount Sinai. And in that culture, in that day and time, with what we would think of as more limited forensics, the testimony of witnesses was of the highest importance. Life or death might hinge upon the testimony of two witnesses or three. Thus the proverb reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And God, who is just, requires that His creatures exercise justice. Justice is a sacred matter. Everyone involved in a legal proceeding must be honest and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and not to bear false witness against someone else. There are examples that we could cite from the Scripture, illustrations of the violation of this commandment. One that is just so irritating is this wicked queen named Jezebel, who pays these false accusers to testify against an innocent man named Naboth, so that on their false testimony, their false witness, Naboth will be accused of blasphemy, and he will be taken out and stoned to death, simply so that his little vineyard can become the possession of King Ahab. And there are numerous examples of this kind of thing in Holy Scripture. This is what is forbidden on the surface here, bearing a false witness against a neighbor. False testimony is forbidden elsewhere In the law, Leviticus 19 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor." That again, it shows how important honesty is in these legal matters. A person's life and blood may hang upon it. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read, "If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition." Here's the inquiry. Here is the study of the case. "And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you." It will be a deterrent to others. Yes, the punishment of the false accuser, of the false witness, among other things, serves as a deterrent to others. And the passage goes on to say, "And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." But there's more implied here in this ninth commandment. Not only what is expressly forbidden here, but there's much by way of implication that is forbidden. And I'll just run through these very quickly here. Obviously, lying. Any kind of lying. Telling what is not true with the intent to deceive. And for some reason, we think immediately of politicians, don't we? Who are known for such things. It's a sad commentary on a society and on a government. Really, it's a sad commentary on the whole human race, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's been this way ever since the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Cain tried to lie to God about the murder of Abel. God knew the truth. God was the witness to that evil deed. Someone has called politics the art of lying well. But it's not just politicians. All men are liars. One of the most ugly aspects of lying is people doing so under the cloak of religion. We read in both Testaments of false prophets who gave a false word from God, lying, deceiving their hearers. We have false prophets to this day who scratch itching ears, telling people what they want to believe, what they want to hear, rather than the truth that God has spoken. May the Lord help us to be true to His Word and faithful to His Word above all. Lying is a way of life. In many cases, for many people, and even where it is not a way of life, it is a backup plan when things get too difficult. In some cultures, it is more dominant than in others. Just imagine what a different world it would be if everyone obeyed the ninth commandment. Well, besides lying, this commandment forbids defamation, slander, what the Bible calls backbiting. We saw the word talebearing used here in one of these passages that we read. Gossip. That's all implicitly forbidden in this command. Anything that does not need to be told or does not need to be repeated, even if it's true, is against the spirit of this commandment. This command forbids intentionally misleading and misrepresenting. You think, how much of the advertising industry is built on violating the ninth commandment? This commandment forbids covering up for other sins. You know, David is the classic example here from the Old Testament. He sins in adultery, and then he goes about trying to cover it up. And as we oftentimes say, the cover-up is as bad or worse than the crime. And in the cover-up, he's lying and he's deceiving. He's trying to make it appear as if Uriah is the father of this child, of Bathsheba's. And when that fails, then he resorts to breaking the sixth commandment and has him killed on the battlefield by a design. And there's the breaking of multiple commandments there in that story, that sad story in the life of David. This commandment forbids flattery. That's bearing a false witness, isn't it? The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. What about exaggeration? I'm sure we all know people who cannot tell an event, a story, truthfully. They have to add to it. It gets bigger and bigger. You know, we laugh about the fisherman, that the fish keeps getting bigger every time he talks about it and so on. But it's really nothing to laugh about. Great damage is done to reputations when people exaggerate stories and exaggerate the truth that maybe someone else was involved in some way. And with someone who is known as an exaggerator, every time they open their mouth, you ask yourself, how much of this is really true? This commandment forbids pretending, hypocrisy. You know, Mr. A.W. Tozer, I think, would say that this commandment forbids the whole acting profession, pretending to be something other than what you are and who you are. You know, it's a compliment when someone says concerning someone else, what you see is what you get. This commandment forbids idle words. As much as any of these commandments, this ninth commandment governs our speech altogether. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Will this ninth commandment be brought up on judgment day? Apparently so. One more thing. This commandment forbids failing to keep promises that are made. The Bible uses the term covenant breakers. And we could spend the rest of our time just giving examples of that. We are to keep our word. Be cautious in making a promise. Once you have made it, keep it. We learn from this commandment, then, in way of summary, the importance and the absolute necessity of trust. Trust. Being able to trust what others say, to trust them to tell the truth and to do the truth. Trust is essential in every human relationship. The very stability of society depends upon honesty. Families, churches, nations must have honest people in them. Now, consider this point. We read earlier from John chapter 8 how that, to put it in so many words, there's nothing more devilish than a lie. Our Lord says concerning him, Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. There's the sixth commandment. And abode not in the truth. There's the ninth commandment. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Jesus had just said earlier in this passage that I read earlier that when Jesus spoke, he spoke that which he had received from his Father, which was true. But here he says when the devil speaks, he doesn't get it from anybody else. He gets it on his own. When he speaks a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. When Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent in the Garden of Eden, he attempted to switch characters with God. He comes in indeed as an actor, playing the part of the one who is telling the truth. He assumes that he presents himself falsely as if he were God, as if he were the one who is honest and forthright, and that God is the one who is the liar, and God is the one who's deceiving Adam and Eve and keeping something good from them. There's nothing more evil, vile, detestable than that. And yet, Eve fell for it, and Adam willingly followed it. And all mankind in Adam, ever since then, have been doing the same, preferring to believe the lies of the devil rather than the truth of God. That, beloved, in a nutshell, explains the world in which we live. That's why we are where we are. That's how we got to where we are now. With so much deception, dishonesty, lying. People will, and again we think of politicians because they have such a public, visible life. They will lie on camera, in print, even under oath. That's the way that mankind prefers to live. Not God's way, but Satan's way. We read in Romans chapter 1 concerning the human race in general that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, or changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, nothing more devilish than a lie. On the other hand, nothing more godlike than the truth. His word is truth. God tells us the truth. You don't have to wonder whether God is telling you the truth or not. We should never doubt His word, therefore. His word is truth. It has become a saying of mine here in recent weeks and months. The only thing you can believe altogether is the Bible. Everything else is liable to error in one way or another, either knowingly or unknowingly. Well, let's consider a few positive duties that are implied here in this commandment. And for this, we look to the New Testament. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, there's the negative, that's what we're to shun. Speak, here's the positive duty, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Instead of lying, bearing false witness, speak the truth. And so this ninth commandment implies the duty of honest communication. And a believer in the sight of God is always under oath. And that's not to say that there is not a place for lawful oaths in solemn proceedings, such as in a courtroom or in a wedding ceremony. But for a believer to be bound to tell the truth, he doesn't even need to be put under oath. We're under oath all the time. This commandment, moreover, implies positively godly speech in all of our life. We read again in the New Testament, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, it says, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We spoke a moment ago about false prophets. When you read in the New Testament the testimony and the conscience of the Apostle Paul, he was an honest minister of the Word of God. He could say, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know. He calls upon the Thessalonians, their own, he calls upon them as witnesses to the fact that he didn't flatter them in order to gain a following or gain their favor. He told them the truth. Again, he could say to the Corinthians, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This ninth commandment then requires godly, truthful communication in all that we say. One more thing that is positively implied here, and that is to speak up when duty requires it. There are times when silence is criminal and sinful. We read, for example, in the book of Proverbs, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. If you have information that's relevant to the case that no one else has, you have a duty to bring that information forward. Open thy mouth, again it says, judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. The assumption there is that that the poor and needy are sort of being taken advantage of and maybe ganged up against. And you have some information that will defend them and exonerate them. And you are to open your mouth in such circumstances. That's all implied in this ninth commandment. Now, let me just say something here briefly about the ethical dilemmas that we face in a fallen world. And I mention this only because I know some of you in the back of your mind are already thinking about it, and so we might as well address it. Is it okay for soldiers to wear camouflage? Well, that's a serious question for some people. I don't believe that's a breach of the ninth commandment. That's good warfare. Is it a breach of the ninth commandment for a bald-headed man to wear a toupee? Well, you can wrestle with that. More seriously, how about hiding and protecting innocent people from those who would murder them? Scenarios like that do occur, especially in times of warfare and enemy occupation. The Corrie ten Boom story is a classic example of that. We read in Scripture of the Hebrew midwives in the book of Exodus who deceived Pharaoh and spared the lives of the Jewish children and boys. Again, we read of Rahab in the city of Jericho who hid the spies from Israel, protected their lives, saved their lives, and then helped them escape, and then deceived the men of Jericho who came looking for them. We read of numerous accounts of, in times of battle, how that the army of Israel would deceive the enemy by pretending to be a smaller number or pretending to be retreating when they had an ambush set, and so on. Well, without answering each individual case, let me just try to say something that kind of covers generally here. There are times to be selective concerning what information we offer. I think we can say that safely from Scripture. Even God told Samuel to give partial truth to King Saul when Samuel went to anoint the young David as king. It was something that must be kept a secret. Samuel knew that he and David could be in great danger and jeopardy if Saul knew about this. And so the Lord said to Samuel, "Take an heifer with thee and say, 'I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" That was simply being selective in what information Samuel would give to Saul. Taking all of these biblical examples, my best answer, and I don't know if this is the final answer, but it's the best I can give you at this time. If the person who is asking for information is going to use the information for wicked purposes, such as to kill someone who is innocent, then it seems to me that that person has forfeited the right to the truth. Does the devil deserve the truth? Do those who do his work in this world then have a right to the truth? I don't think so. But these are difficult cases. And these are cases that arise simply because we live in a fallen world, and we must face and address these conundrums and ethical dilemmas. If you are ever in a situation like that and must do what the Hebrew midwives did, for example, you must be prepared to suffer the consequences if you are discovered in what you have done. But I don't believe that that is per se a breach of the ninth commandment. Well, I hasten on here. This commandment did not begin at Mount Sinai. Long before Moses, men knew that it was wrong to lie. We have referred to Genesis 3, where God cursed the serpent for his deception. There's the ninth commandment implied. Abraham was reproved for his deceiving of Pharaoh and Abimelech concerning Sarah. And he was only telling a half lie. And yet he's reproved for it by those kings. Likewise, with Isaac and Abimelech, Jacob knew it was wrong to pretend to be Esau and deceive Isaac and steal the blessing from him. So many other examples. Potiphar's wife gave false testimony against Joseph, and that is obviously wrong. Men knew that Joseph knew that it was wrong. He states there to afterwards, while he's in the prison, that he was treated wrongly. And we've already seen some passages from the New Testament that show that this commandment is not relegated to the Old Testament or the Jewish people alone. In dealing with the rich young ruler, Jesus gives him the commandments, and he includes in that list, do not bear false witness. We read here the passage from Ephesians. This whole passage is very relevant, Ephesians 4 in the latter verses. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Again, there's the positive duty of the ninth commandment. Edifying words and speech, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor or quarreling and evil speaking be put away from you, it says. Another New Testament reiteration of the commandment is, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Lying is characteristic of what we were in Adam, not what we are in Christ. Well, very quickly here, what is the end of lying? Where do all liars wind up? Book of Revelation tells us plainly, those who will take part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone are the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And last in the list, it says, all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Again, in the last chapter of Revelation, it says, outside of the celestial city are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And again, last in the list, and it's broad and comprehensive, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie This is the only fit place. Hellfire is the only fit place for liars. It's where they belong. In the company of the devil himself, the father of lies. Liars manifest the character of the devil in all of their lies. Their lies reveal the state of their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so they're full of lies within. And that's why lies come out of their mouth. And so, beloved, we're all condemned here. We're in a desperate way. All liars go to hell forever. And the truth is, all men are liars. Has that sunk in? Does that resonate in your conscience today? I'm a liar. And I'm hell bound, left to myself. The only place fit for a liar like me is to be in hell with the devil himself. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There is hope for liars, and that hope is not in self-improvement and self-reformation. The hope for liars is in the gospel of Christ and in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who kept this commandment perfectly for our redemption. The obedience that we owed to God with regard to the ninth commandment that we never fulfilled as fallen in Adam is fulfilled in our place by our substitute, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled this commandment and all commandments perfectly. Gracious words proceeded out of His mouth, we read. One of the great statements that He made is, I am the truth. He was always honest. Even when it offended those around Him, He told the truth. Even when it led to His crucifixion, He told the truth. He was the Son of God. We read there in John chapter 8, ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He's called in the book of Revelation the true and faithful witness. Think of that. The very contrary of what is forbidden in the ninth commandment, bearing false witness, Jesus is the true and faithful witness. And after all, think of this, He was condemned to death on the testimony of false witnesses, much like Naboth in the Old Testament that we mentioned. And the perfect obedience that Christ rendered covers the disobedience. His truthfulness covers the lies of all God's elect. All those whom the Father gave to the Son. All those for whom the Son laid down His life. All those who are called by His grace into fellowship and salvation with Christ. Even all those who turn from their sins and trust in Christ. And so this brings us again to search our own hearts. Are you going to have to answer for your sins on Judgment Day, or has Christ answered for them on His cross? Those are the only options, the only possibilities. And so, let us come to Christ. turn away from our lies and come to Him who is the truth and the way and the life. And He who is the truth will set you free. Free from your lies. And He'll make you free indeed. Finally, last of all, if you know your sins have been put away, if you know that this true Savior has atoned for all of your lies, how can you show gratitude to Him for this? Simply by imitating His holy character. By honoring the law that He honored and kept perfectly. By not bearing a false witness, in other words. So this commandment is relevant to believers. This is how we show our love to Him. Let it never be said of us who are believers in Christ that we have borne a false witness. But rather, let us be true and faithful to Him. Let us be honest with our Savior and honest with others.